Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, we're not confused about what day it is. This is Wretched Radio. It's Mailbag Day. Why? Because it's Mailbag Week. Why? Because we are enjoying a political palate cleanser. That's right. Even though we don't talk that much about politics here, only when it involves theology. And I get it. Every single law somehow has morality or theology behind it. But we'll talk about the stuff that's in the bullseye, the life issue, the gender issues, the marriage issues. These are indeed theological issues. We talk about them, but we're not a political talk show. Nevertheless, we're cleansing our palates by just talking about Christian stuff. Hopefully, you'll enjoy this palate cleansing, especially if you send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, do you think it's wise for a church to start a Christian school that is open to the general public, meaning you don't have to be a Christian household to attend?
Do I think it's wise? I would put this under Christian liberty. There's two types of Christian schools. One is the school, no, it's closed to our Christian families that are members of our Christian church. Those are the kids we're going to train up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord, period. And I applaud that model. There's other churches who say, no, we're going to open up and it's going to be evangelistic. I just think it falls underneath the realm of liberty. And it depends on what you're trying to do and accomplish as a church. And it depends on the church itself. And what it's involved in, what it supports, what its goals are. I think that there should be Christian liberty with these things. And I think that we probably shouldn't throw a stone at a church that is doing it with the model that we wouldn't prefer. I do believe, though, that I would add this to the church that is doing it for the entire community. I say I think you have liberty to do that, but prioritize your own kids. That ain't a sin. I know these days we're not supposed to talk like that. What do you mean, take care of our own citizens first? I know that's like, whoa. It just makes the progressive ear just like they're hearing a dog whistle. We should be taking care of the people at the church first. We're going through this right now at AlpharettaBibleChurch.org. We're talking, so excited about this. Oh, man, Zilla, I'm excited about this. Talking about the possibility of not just doing biblical counseling, which we're already doing, but to have a biblical counseling center. Now, the question that immediately gets raised is, all right, well, who gets to come? And our answer is church people first. You're a member of this church? We take care of you first because you're our obligation. We're covenanted, if you will, together. That made every Presbyterian happy. We are in this as a local body. And so we're going to take care of those people as a priority. But what about taking care of people outside? I think we can. And I think we will if we've got enough biblical counselors, which it appears that we have. And if you don't have somebody in your church spearheading biblical counseling, be that person. Be that person. All right, Libby, you're going to be meeting her more and more as the months progress here at Fortis Institute. She's a member of our church. She's a biblical counselor. She actually has her master's in biblical counseling. I don't know how she's done this, but she's going to be holding a meeting for the women that are interested in being a part of a biblical counseling meeting to serve as a ministry inside of our body. She has seven women. We're a startup church. You gotta give or take 100 and some folks coming every Sunday. That's it. Seven women that are wanting to do biblical counseling. So that tells me it doesn't matter what the size is. There just needs to be somebody in your church who lights a fire on biblical counseling because it is so needed. It'll take the load off of the elders and having to do every single counseling session. No, you can have people that are qualified to do that. And you can take care of so many people inside of your church that are struggling with marriage issues, parenting issues, just sin issues, or just dilemmas. I just don't know what. Okay. Oh, wow. I am so pleased with myself because I'm still like itching from yesterday's program. Jimmy, do you remember from yesterday's program, what was the last question that you gave me with like 90 seconds to go? Do you remember?
Oh, you did that to me, didn't you?
Cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
Facelift.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I wanted it to. So let's talk about that more, shall we? Because that's a biblical counseling issue. You're asking yourself, the individual who wrote in smoked for years and that had an effect. And age had an effect on her skin. She's thinking about getting a facelift. That could be a biblical counseling issue because it's wisdom from somebody who can probe your heart to determine what it is that is motivating it. Do you need to do that? And then get into other aspects of finances, etc., but heart motivation. All of those are biblical counseling issues. Who in your church will light the fire on biblical counseling? I'm telling you, if people catch the vision, which is a horribly overused word in churches these days, but if they get the idea, whoa, you mean right inside of the body, we've got people who are theologically strong and they're pastoral by nature, that they could do counseling for one another like we're supposed to be doing in the Bible. Whoa, I'm telling you, you'll get people who will want to be a part of it. That is the local church. That is what biblical counseling does. So if you're not doing it, Jimmy?
Yes.
Was there a question in there someplace?
About Christian schools. Yeah.
I love to go a wandering. No, 877-282. There's liberty, is what I'm saying. We're making the decisions on whether or not we're going to open it up to the public. I think we're going to, but we're going to take care of our own first. All that to say, Romans 14, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anthony. Todd, I had a friend approach me in the last few weeks asking for help dealing with pornography. I gave him a copy of Slaying the Lust Dragon, and we've been discussing it, but I'm looking for some advice on a good place to start studying with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I it depends on the individual, quite honestly. You might think, we could do a study on the heart. That wouldn't be a bad place to go. Easy, Emile Zwane. Fight like a man.
Fight like a man.
Fight like a man is the name of his book. John Street's Passions of the Heart. Those are all good things. But I would also put out as an option, study the attributes of God. Rather than a focus on the heart and idolatry of the heart and how our priorities are totally messed up when we conclude that we've got to be watching porn to get some satisfaction. Studying the attributes of God, that will lift a man's eyes. Well, rather than studying self so much, study him. I would even suggest get something like A.W. Pink's The Attributes of God. Get yourself R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God. Woo! Let me tell you something. You start realizing that God is holy, 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 and the idea of looking at porn becomes totally just incomprehensible. He's watching? I got to rethink this. So I would suggest you could study virtually anything because studying the word on any level is going to grow somebody in maturity. And it'll help them to battle their sin more. I think that some areas could have more fertilizer power, like those aforementioned books, or studying the attributes of God. That would grow them. That's fertilizer for fighting sin. A high view of God. I've written a book on it too. It's just we don't know what to do with it yet, quite exactly. There's a number of projects. You want to know what? Okay. I just rethought myself. I was going to say, would you like to know what we're struggling with here at Fortis Institute? And then I realized what it is. And it's like, how could I possibly be whining? Like, this is the hard part of my day. we're producing so much stuff, we can't figure out when and how to release it. And all of God's people said, poor baby, so that's what you're struggling with. Well, we are. We just don't know what to do with it. Because this book, Slaying the Lust Dragon, that's more of a, hey, son, wake up. What are you doing? Are you even a Christian? Which is a very fair question. The book now that I've written is called Play the Man, because it's not enough to just not want to do something. Let's just say you've concluded, well, I don't want to watch porn. Well, the reality is you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't. You don't like poking yourself in the eye with a hot poker. Okay, you don't do it because you actually don't like it. If you did like it, you'd poke yourself in the eye. You can say you don't like porn, but if you do it, you do. And so what do you need? It's not just enough to slap your wrist and be told don't. You need to be given an option for do. You need to put off the blech and put on something better. And that something better is your savior, the expulsive power of new affections. Right now, you like your porn. You need to love your Savior more, and that will drive out your desire to put a flaming poker in your eyeball. Because that's what you're doing. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. And if you're anything like us, you feel the constant pressure to play catch up with today's rapid fire changes in this culture. We get it. And that's why Fortis Institute exists. Every day, we're bringing you content that will keep you grounded in biblical truth. Videos that dive into hot topics that are happening today. Podcasts covering everything from marriage and parenting to deep dives in theology. And of course, our webinars, which feature some of the sharpest Christian thinkers around. And the best part about it all, it's absolutely free, no strings attached. But here's the thing, we do need your help to keep this going. If you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting us, you're helping us equip believers. So why not get the information? You can do that right now at fortisinstitute.org and get answers to any questions you might have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?" This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hard. This job is so hard. This is Wretched Radio. Yep. I'm complaining about our challenges here. We don't lift anything heavy. Jimmy, have you ever broken into a sweat at work? Well, sometimes your room does get a little warm, but yeah. From actual labor, have you ever been like, whoo, I could use some water and some salt right now?
No.
No. Why did you have to think about it? I know, but no, you haven't, because it's not what we do here. So for me to complain about, well, we got this challenge because we got a lot of stuff that we wanted to get out there and we don't know how to time it. I know. Poor babies. So I've written a book. It's done. Edited. And Gary Varvel, he did great artwork for it. Ready to go. But we want to release it in a way that it's actually impactful. I know this sounds silly, but we can make stuff. But if we don't take the time and have the ability to let people know about it, well, then it just sits there. And so we're trying to figure out what to do with this new book on pornography. We want to give it away. And the book, I think I talked about this yesterday. There's two other books that I'd like to have the Fortas Fellows write. One on the attributes of God. It's for all believers. And it's got a little bit of a twist to it. It's about the attributes of God and how they help you love the Lord more. So studying those attributes, but not just for the sake of studying those attributes. That's just learning theology. And that's important. But theology does what? It serves. Theology isn't the primary goal of your Christian walk. Learning theology is a tool for the goal of loving your Savior more. That is the role of theology. Head is in service to the heart. And by that, I don't just mean affections. I mean will, the totality of you, the heart, the inner man. That's what theology is supposed to do. And so we want to talk about the attributes and then show this is why we love God and this is why you should love him more. So, for instance, the aseity of God, you say, what? I say the aseity of God. It's an attribute of God. It's incommunicable. We don't have this one. There are some attributes that God shares with us. For instance, omnipotence. He's the omni. We've got a little potence, but nowhere near the omnipotence that he possesses. Those are communicable. But the incommunicable attribute of aseity means God don't need nothing, not nowhere, not nohow. And you say, well, how's that supposed to help me love God? The one who needs nothing made you anyway. And he sent his son to die for you. He doesn't need to be in a relationship with sinful people because he's fully satisfied and content in his Trinitarian self. He doesn't need us, but he made us anyway. He sent his son to die to save us so that we can be introduced to a right relationship with him. What? What? I can understand a needy God. He's bored. He's run out of things to do. Got nobody to talk to, so he made people. God didn't need us, and he made us anyway. And that should cause us to love him more and be in awe of this God who is so magnanimous, so magnificent, that he made people simply to lavish his love on us. Wow. That's what theology should do. So we want to write a book on that, but then also want to write a book on how preaching should lead to that very same end too. All right, so just started the process on that, so jumping the gun here a ton. And we want to give those away. That is what we want to do here at Fortas Institute. We desire to give stuff away. Oh, by the way, you want to be encouraged? Maybe tomorrow's the last day. Go to the website. If you go to fortasinstitute.org, you'll see the offering there on Halloween. I don't know if it's still on or not. Jimmy, I spoke to somebody that is in the know. I think about 400 people are giving away The Man Who Split Time that we gave away. We gave 50 copies away to you if you will give it away at Halloween.
Wow.
You can go to the website and see if it's still there or not. I don't because of shipping. But for over 400 people, it'll probably be about 500, I think, because this was a couple of days ago when I asked, that are giving the gospel away. Mm. And we gave those booklets away. It's, I don't know, 20-some thousand booklets. Love that. Love it! And we want to do more and more of that. Now, I think a lesser host would sneak in a plug for becoming a gospel partner because the more people give, the more we give away. But I'm not going to do that, even though you can become a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org/donate. I'm not a lesser talk show host, so I won't be doing that. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mike. Todd, my wife and sister both lead an apologetics group for mothers. This week, they were all talking, and one of the ladies mentioned that she's been showing her daughter sermons and that it was going really well. So my wife asked what sermons, and the woman gladly responded with Stephen Furtick. My wife is wondering how she should approach this mother in their upcoming meeting.
You know, there's a myriad of ways to do that. So let me just try to offer something helpful as opposed to, well, this is how I think that I would do it. I think this might guide you in how you do it. Ask yourself the question, what's the goal? What's the goal? What are you aiming for? Okay, a second thought that would accompany that, what's your motivation? What is it that you want to correct here? Because I think if you go into it like, oh, Stephen, are you kidding me? Stephen, let me just show you this video of what this guy said. The power of the pull with the air. Look at how dopey that. It probably isn't going to go very well. So what is the goal? You want them to have good. You want them to have better. You want that for them. You don't want them to not. Okay, you want that, but you want them to enjoy better teaching. You want them to enjoy stuff that is actually helpful. Do you remember that sermon, The Power of the Pull? It was like some Old Testament reference of a guy shooting a bow and arrow out the window, and he's got a bow on the stage, and he pushes the arrow, and the power of the pull. Do you know how many people who saw that sermon who were diagnosed with a really scary illness went, it's okay, I got the power of the pull. Power of the pull going to take me through. Anybody on their deathbed, don't you worry, family. I understand the power of the pull does nothing for people. There's no power in it at all. It's just a show. So you want better for people, and that'll guide your interaction with them. If you go just looking to, you know, take pokes at Stephen Furtick, plenty easy to do. Let your heart motivation be, oh, I want them to enjoy Bible teaching that leads them to love the Lord so that when they do get that scary diagnosis, they can say, it is well with my soul. What God ordains is always good. My good physician would never give me a cup of poison because I know his goodness. How do I know? Because I've studied his attributes, because I know theology. And then they face these challenges with an assurance that their God loves them. And that ain't going to happen from the preaching of Stephen Furtick. Let that drive your interaction. And I would suggest, by the way, that's what should drive all of our interactions whenever there's some sort of conflict. Not just the home, definitely the church too. But really, this would be a life hack for work. When somebody's doing something, they whatever it is that's getting up your nose, what do you want? What do you want? And if it's, I just want them to stop because it really bugs me. They keep leaving garbage in their basket and it stinks. And they need to knock it off. Were they raised in a barn? Okay, where's that going to go? All right, just think in terms of interactions. Your pastor's doing something that you don't think is ideal. Okay, what do you want? What do you want? Well, I want them to knock it off. That ain't going to go well. I can just guarantee you. But if you want your pastor to be really faithful in his preaching and you think that you've identified something that he said that really was to the level of, I think it's worth pointing out, because I want this guy to be a great shepherd and I want my fellow sheep to be fed and I want this church to be strong. Well, that interaction is going to go better. It'll go better in your marriage. Your spouse is doing whatever it is that's driving you nuts. All right, what do you want? If it's just stop it, then you're going to get into a fight. That's what's going to, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's what you're going to do. What do you want for them? What good do you want to come from this? How do you want that person to flourish more in the context of a Christian relationship? How do you want, how will this help them to love Jesus more? Go ahead. Try to scream at your kid and take your belt off out of anger when your goal is to help them to love Jesus more. Go ahead. We'll wait right here. Let's just see how angry you can get. Let's see how violent you can get when that is your goal. Whenever it comes to issues of disagreement, whether it's preference, whether it's sin, whether it's just an agitation, I think motivation is the place to start, which means we start with the heart. Go ahead. Feel free to turn that into a meme. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start today in Colorado, where after 12 long years of legal battles, Colorado baker Jack Phillips may finally see an end to the activist harassment targeting his faith. The Colorado Supreme Court dismissed the latest case against him on procedural grounds. And as Mr. Phillips' attorney notes, he serves everyone. He just doesn't celebrate every message. Speaking of standing firm on convictions, we are seeing a troubling wave of detransitioner lawsuits emerging across the country. Young people who were rushed into life-altering procedures are now speaking out about the deception they faced from medical professionals. And as one victim put it, quote, "I was brainwashed." Yeah, you remember when doctors took the oath to first do no harm? That doesn't seem to be the case anymore, does it? Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe has apparently discovered his backbone just in time for re-election. After parents raised concern about biological males in girls' changing rooms, Moe announced his first order of business would be protecting female students' privacy. It's just amazing how an election can clarify your priorities. And while we're talking about protecting children, British Columbia Conservative leader John Rustad is taking a stand against sexually explicit materials in school libraries. When confronted with graphic evidence on what's available to students, Rustad didn't mince words, saying, quote, "No public school library should have books with images like these." Sad to say, but kind of a refreshing dose of common sense. Now, tragic news from Nigeria, where Fulani herdsmen have killed 7 Christians in yet another targeted attack on believers. While the media still obsesses over preferred pronouns, real persecution continues largely unreported all over the world. And these attacks aren't random. They're part of a systemic effort to drive Christians from their lands. Remember, as we tell you frequently, please continue praying for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. In Minnesota, Governor Wall's administration is funding a, quote, "no parents allowed wilderness excursion where children as young as 11 will be able to discuss queerness with transgender adults." Yeah, because nothing is safer than keeping parents in the dark about their children's activities. Your tax dollars at work, folks. But we'll end with some good news. Chick-fil-A is expanding to the United Kingdom, bringing not just their legendary chicken, but their commitment to community service along with them. Each new location will be participating in their shared table program, which donates surplus food to local charities. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks, and if you want more, you can always download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive content every single day. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And also don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now a text from Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. You've got a text from Jimmy, is that correct?
I do.
Wants to correct what I just said?
No, I'm not correcting.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I'm adding two. Because you were right. The motivation, your heart's motivation, the specific question you just answered about the from Mike and the wife and sister who lead a group of mothers, and she's showing
her kid, Stephen Furtick.
Right. So the motivation, absolutely, you hit that spot on. But I think the unique situation here with this specific situation is that Mike's wife and sister actually lead the group. So instead of going directly, I think going to her immediately saying, what are you doing? They should just teach hermeneutics.
Well, that's very helpful too. But that's why I decided, because I think that there's a thousand ways to kind of approach it.
Right.
And based on your personality, relationship, all of that. But again, I think what will help you do whichever way you approach it better is by thinking, what do I want from this? Because I, you know what? So have you ever heard the word hermeneutics? Okay, so your heart stinks. It's a great idea. It's just going to come across like chewing aspirin. So that's why I just decide, okay, you'll sort it, you'll figure it out, and you'll probably decide the approach that's best based on your motivation. 877-282-2337. Although somebody could get Herman Hu available at Wretched. Oh, wait, that's not right anymore. Can we go?
Yeah. Fortis Institute.
Where are we? How does this work? FortisInstitute.org. Yeah, we're still Wretched. I think if you go to Wretched.org now, it just forwards you to Fortis Institute.
I think so.
Because everything that we had there, we have at Fortis Institute. Just a whole lot more. And if you have not availed yourself of all of the free stuff that is there every single day, we're not just cranking out piffle. It's poignant. It's powerful. It is. Go ahead, Jimmy. I need one last P.
Perfect.
All righty. Let's go with that. You'll find it all at Fortis Plus, where you can see it all. You can get the app or just go to FortisInstitute.org.
All right. This is from Carmen. Todd, what do you do when your pastor is caught telling lies and your elders refuse to address it? We've been members of the church for close to 20 years, and my husband's family actually helped start the church in the 70s. The pastor's fairly new, hired about 5 years ago. There are many people leaving the church due to the issues surrounding these lies, but we're very committed to our local body of believers.
Good for them. Yeah. So here's my question. What do you want? What do you want? What is your goal with the pastor that has been accused of telling lies? I don't know the details of this, so we'll just work with the assumption that for some reason, the guy has been telling what has been perceived as to be not truthful. All right, what do you want? Might I suggest your number one goal is that you're concerned that your pastor might be caught in a snare of sin? That's number one. Not the church, that guy right there. Hey, the church is a big deal. But that individual man that you believe is sinning, what do you want to do for that guy? I think that that needs to be at the top of the priority list. From that, then you're going to be, then the church stuff will probably, for the most part, sort itself out. Because if you go to the pastor and it's like, so you've been telling lies, what's going on? Why do you keep doing this? Don't you see that you're losing the church? It's just not going to be productive. Furthermore, it's not. You know, the accusatory tone, I don't think that that's the way that we are supposed to approach a wayward brother. I think we see that in Matthew 18. You go to them, you point it out, hey, bro, this is what I've seen. And please correct me. I'd love to be wrong about this, but it appears that you said this, but did that. You represented this, but it was all actually that. Am I right in my observation? That's a good way to begin the conversation. And it is, okay, well, I'm so concerned about you. This isn't like you. I've seen you now. We've worked shoulder to shoulder now for years. What's going on, bro? That's different. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't bring up the church at some point and the effect that telling lies is having on the body. But be motivated to rescue that guy. We do have permission to do that. You just need to do it as if you're talking to a father, because in a sense, that's what a shepherd should be, somebody who is fatherly toward the sheep. And then you can deal with the church stuff. Hey, do you know what's going on in the church? Do you know why these people have left? What is motivating that conversation of, hey, we got to get this fixed. Some people are leaving. They're straying away and we got all kinds of acrimony. I'll help you. I'll help you with this, Pastor. That is different than going in with a laundry list of accusations. Now, let's say he doesn't respond well. Does that mean it was the wrong approach? I don't think so. What it means now is you get to bring in two or three witnesses. And if that doesn't work, and you are all persuaded there is unrepentant sin going on here, and he refuses to change his ways, then you can bring it to the church, which is the body that holds the keys of the kingdom. And you go through church discipline, even on a pastor, but even that is a rescue mission. I think it was three weeks ago, I was studying the keys of the kingdom again. It's a doctrine very few people in evangelicalism study, but which is just very neglected doctrine. It's clearly something that the reformers and the Puritans focused on a lot because it's a big deal and it has implications for your church polity. And as I was reading these different reformers and Puritans on this subject and talking about the keys of the kingdom, which means that you have the ability to make declarations about whether somebody is sinning or not. Whoa, whether somebody is in the kingdom or not. You're simply echoing what has already been stated in heaven. That's what you're doing. But even as you do it, this theme, it was just constant in the Puritans and the Reformers. The goal here is restoration. It's not to kick a guy out. It's not to get a new pastor. And that's not the goal. It might be the result. But the goal is restoration. That's what church discipline is about. That's what approaching somebody in a sin. We want this to be good and we want it to be sweet. And even guys like John Calvin, you would think, well, he's going to be really stern on church discipline. Make the proclamation and get the guy out of there. No, it's like, oh, we hate to do this. This is not what we want. But because our Savior, he gave us the playbook for how to deal with somebody who is straying. We got to set you outside of the body. We want you to come back in. Please, please repent of this sin. We want you in here. That's the goal of church discipline. That's the goal of, even if you will, confrontation. And if that is not the motive, then you're just not ready yet. That's all. You're just not ready yet. So the first step would be to work on your own heart. Make sure then you've got your thoughts together, your biblical support together, and approach this pastor who's being accused of lying as if he is caught in a snare and he needs to be rescued. The vivid imagery of Galatians 6, you come upon somebody, you're out in the woods hunting, and somehow the person that you're out hunting with, you know, somebody like Tim Walz or Kamala Harris, because they hunt now, apparently.
Both.
Yeah, Mrs. Friel came up with a slogan, by the way.
Oh, what's that?
Making the dark ages great again. Where we're going. Isn't that funny? Whatever is said, we're not going back. Yeah, actually, you're going back. It's just like a millennia ago when we used to act like barbarians. At any rate, the picture is of somebody who gets caught in a trap. So your buddy, there he is, lying, writhing on the ground, can't get the trap off. Oh, idiot. Why didn't you watch where you were going? Oh, Bose, I'm never going hunting with you again. You wouldn't do that. I hope you wouldn't do that. You jump in. Get him out. That's how we should be treating a brother or sister who is caught in sin. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I was wondering if you have any advice on staying steady. It seems the simplest thing, like the outcome of a football game or even a movie, will affect me deeply to the point of I feel depression, loneliness, and anxiety. You have any advice on how I could stay steady through things like this?
This is biblical counseling stuff right here. You know, could there be sin going on? I think most people, you hear biblical counseling and you go, oh, somebody's dealing with it. It's a sin issue. Well, maybe. But this is just somebody who, for whatever reason, is responding pretty emotively to a pretty much everything. Cool. A brother or sister to walk alongside this person, to help them dig into their heart to figure what is going on. So here's the good news. You've taken the first step. You recognize it's an issue. I think the second encouragement I would give to you is to find a biblical counselor and right on the heels of that, be plugged into your local church. If you're struggling in that way, change your diet, what you're consuming, get more engaged with your local church, start spending more time with believers, and feed your soul. And there are other things, which we'll discuss next on Wretched Radio.
Just over a century ago, the lost generation emerged from the fog of World War I. Today, we face a new crisis. Young men of Gen Z, that's ages 12 to 29, are caught in the crossfire of a cultural war. Introducing Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, a new production from Fortis Institute. And this is not just another self-help program. No, no, no. It is a spiritual cure from a spiritual problem. Way of Manhood is available now on the Fortis Plus app. You can get there by visiting fortisinstitute.org. And while you're at fortisinstitute.org, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And together we can guide a generation back to the right path. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/donate and learn more about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. FortisInstitute.org.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally in 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor. Pastor.
Some people call it Halloween, others of us call it Reformation Day, but later this month, countless children will be knocking on our doors all over this country. You don't have to turn the porch light off and say, I don't celebrate this day. No, you can seize the opportunity with us here at Fortis Institute. This year, we're offering you a powerful way to engage. For a limited time, you can receive 50 copies of The Man Who Split Time absolutely free. You just cover the shipping charge. Imagine as children come to your door, you can answer and offer them not just treats, but also the greatest gift of all. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each booklet is a chance to plant seeds of faith in young hearts and young minds. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/Halloween to claim your free booklets right now. You just cover the shipping charge. Don't miss this opportunity to shine the light of the gospel on Reformation Day. Order your copies right now at fortisinstitute.org/Halloween.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some Christian talk shows will have one dangling Chad, not us. Now we have two. This is Wretched Radio. All right, Jimmy, you were talking. I wanted to talk about the individual who's responding pretty emotively to pretty much everything that they consume. It's a movie. It makes them sad and lonely. The football game is lost. They feel sad and they feel lonely.
Joe.
All right, that's the dangling Chad I want to address. You, however, wanted to go back to create another dangling Chad.
That's right.
which was the individual who was concerned about a pastor lying.
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
Well, I was just... because one of the things that she said in her question was the elders refused to address it. And so not knowing the details of her situation, I was just wondering, I was asking... How do you know that? How do you know they're not meeting with the pastor privately and as a congregation? If that's happening, shouldn't we trust our pastors to let us know when things?
Well, if those things are happening, I think communicating those things, it actually is important.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever stuff is done in the shadows, it rarely works out right. I've seen this over the years that when you try to keep something, well, we're working on it, so we don't really want to say, do I realize that discretion sometimes plays a role in our actions and decisions? Yes. But oftentimes that discretion gets us into trouble. And if we would have just communicated it, everything is above board, you're not disclosing details that are confidential. I say as a rule, communication is better. It just is. Don't do sneaky things. And even some of the subjects. Okay, so here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with some financial issues at Alpharetta Bible Church. And just how, what the future looks like and how we're going to move forward as a body. There's money issues. All right, we can be cryptic about that because it's money we're talking about here. And with polite conversations don't involve money talk. Well, that's not the way I see it. It's money, and it's not the end-all be-all, but it is important. And so let's talk about it. Here's how we're kind of seeing it. This is what the elders are thinking about. We have this much. Here are the upcoming needs. We'd like to accomplish this in 3 years and 5 years. So this is how we're looking at spending the money. And if you're keeping that close to your vest, it's probably because you're trying to do something that maybe you know somebody wouldn't approve. Transparency, communication, always better. Now, having said that about the elders that apparently are not dealing with a pastor who is lying, yeah, I think it's a fair question for you to ask, you know, how do they know that? Now, if the elders say, no, we aren't dealing with it, we have concluded it is not an issue. We don't see it. What is then the response of the parishioner? Well, this is not an easy balance, but I would not make it an either or. I actually there's a part of me that wants to say just submit to your elders and just follow their lead. And I'm gonna stick to that, but I wouldn't say just. Why? Priesthood of all believers. You hold the keys of the kingdom corporately with your entire church. They're not just held by the elders. It's every single believer. So what are the keys of the kingdom? This is why this doctrine is so important and it's so overlooked. And I just don't understand why. Maybe because it's just so historic. It's such a distinctly Protestant doctrine. We hear anything that's like, oh, the reformers and they're Protestants and their particular stream of denomination. Oh, they focus on that. And we've kind of neglected it. Well, that's to our shame because there it is in the Bible, Matthew 16 and 18. It's even in John chapter 20, doesn't use the same terminology, but it's the binding and loosing principle. Binding and loosing what? Well, the reformers concluded that manifests itself in two different ways. You've got a church discipline issue, and the body has been presented with an individual who is refusing to repent of their sin. They make a declaration together that echoes the rendering of the verdict about that person in heaven. In other words, the church can say, because you refuse to repent, we are setting you outside as an unbeliever, because that is what has already been declared in heaven, because you refuse to repent. The hope is that they will, and they will return to the fold. That is a part of the, by the way, you can also loose. Binding is a strapping, you know, you're making a declaration that says this thing is bound. Loosed is letting it go. This person has repented. Their sins are forgiven. You hold that power as an individual, but there's another aspect of it. Because this, did you notice that this is about forgiveness and declaring forgiveness? What are you declaring here? What is this? You're proclaiming good news. Sins can be forgiven if you will repent of your sin. And that doesn't just apply to church discipline issues. It applies to you teaching Sunday school to little children and telling them their sins can be forgiven if they believe in Jesus Christ. It means if you're an evangelist on the street and you're proclaiming, repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you have God's promise, I am merely echoing a declaration that has been made in heaven that, by the way, is codified in the Bible. Repent and trust Jesus. Your sins are forgiven you. And you can make that declaration. And in doing so, you are exercising the keys because you're declaring forgiveness or not forgiveness. You can, alternatively, you can say on the streets, if you fail to repent and trust Jesus Christ, you are bound to your sins. You will be damned because of your sins. That's the keys of the kingdom. So with that, the reformers said that it is the obligation, therefore, of the church, as just as a part of the marching orders of all believers, to be defenders of that gospel truth. That means in your congregation, although your elders, most likely your elder led or elder rule, most likely, but that doesn't mean the congregation has no authority or responsibility here. You have the responsibility to be a guarder of the truth. That is on you. So for this pastor who apparently is telling lies, the elders who apparently aren't willing to do anything about it, if you are so persuaded that there is an issue here of sin that is going on, that somehow truth is being compromised, you have a responsibility as a kingdom priest holding the keys of the kingdom to be a defender of the truth. So you got to find that balance, don't you? You, as a rule, I think submitting to your elders is right, unless you are given valid reasons. It's got to be a valid reason. It can't be picadillos. It can't be preference issues and little knickknacks and paddywhacks that bug you. It's got to be something where it's like, whoa, truth is being jeopardized. The gospel is being compromised. I have a responsibility. And then you proceed respectfully and lovingly to continue pursuing and trying to make sure that truth is protected, because that is a part of your role and your responsibility. And I'll even use the word authority. You got to figure that out. You got to find that balance. So once again, here's what backs it all up. So how do you know in this situation, okay, I submit to my, they sell that they don't need to deal with it. There's nothing there, but, oh, I keep thinking this is going on. I would encourage you to, as a rule, submit, I think is kind of the posture. But if it is something that you're just persuaded of, that you think needs to be dealt with because you have a responsibility as a holder of the keys of the kingdom, then you could talk to another godly individual in a confidential setting to say, here's what I'm trying to work through. Or find somebody outside of the church who is mature and godly to say, here's what I'm dealing with, and get some godly counsel. And if you are then fully persuaded there is still an issue here, then what do? You check your heart and you approach your elders respectfully and pray like a nobody's business the thing gets resolved. Jimmy, did that maybe help a little bit?
I think so. Or yeah.
Maybe I'm just making a mess. Impossible.
Yeah.
Where there's many words, you right. know. So it's not that you have, the elder said it, we're done. Well, that's the posture. You got godly elders. They're striving to be godly. You really have no reason to doubt them. Then just trust them. I think you can do that. And sometimes you just have to go glunk, swallow hard, because I don't see it. I don't agree with it. I think the stripes should have been yellow, not white in the parking lot. I'm going to trust the elders. Nevertheless, you have some responsibility. This is a doctrine that I think will put a little pep in your step when it comes to going to church on Sunday morning. You're not merely a member. You're not merely a spectator. You are a participant in this vibrant and vital system called the church. You've got a job there. When you gather for worship, you're doing more than just hoping that it's a good one this week. You're a royal priest participating in the worship of God. and you hold the keys of the kingdom. The church has been given that authority. You've got a responsibility. Doesn't mean you go walking around like, hey, well, you know, I got the keys. And I heard that teacher tell the kid to ask Jesus into his heart. You're out of here. No, that's not that at all. But you do have a responsibility to be a protector of the truth. We all are called to be that and do that. Did you know that? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.